Today is Sunday, December 16th, 2018. This is the third Sunday of Advent. You're listening to the Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church podcast. We are a member church of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. Today we're going to hear from Pastor Kendra Wild give a sermon on Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. Before we begin, though, let's together recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, John said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you.' And soldiers also asked him, 'And we, what should we do?' He said to them, 'Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages.' As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them, saying, 'I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming, and he, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.' So, with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Boy, nothing quite says happy Advent like fire, unquenchable fires, right? Though we may be surprised about what we discover as we follow the path from Advent to Christmas, on this journey with John, who points us to the Messiah, the one who is our Advent hope. But first, Santa. Now, many of you, I would wager, know the song, "Santa Claus is Coming to Town." You know how it goes. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Oh, okay, I'll stop there. So as a parent, I have learned that there are children who really like this list-keeping Santa. And there are other children who begin their letters to Santa with words like, "Let me explain." I wonder, though, how often do children and even some adults kind of meld this idea of Santa with God? You know, if I'm nice, God will bless me. If I'm naughty, God will not bless me. It's really a pretty simple transaction. And it can be applied on a larger scale as well. I'm sure you've heard this before. You know, if countries or cities, if they are nice, if they do what God asks them to do, then God will bless them. And conversely, if they are naughty, if they're sinful, then God will not bless them or even curse them. I'm sure that you've heard this. Now, the problem with a Santa God is that it just doesn't square with reality. Innocent people suffer, and guilty people go unpunished. And I don't know about you, but I know that I am definitely a mixture of naughty and nice, both. In fact, I recently heard my son respond to the question, "Have you been good this year?" with the answer, which I really appreciated. "Kinda," he said. That's really all of us, right? Real life is a whole lot more complicated than simple naughty and nice categories. I have recently been deeply troubled by what we're seeing in the world news. Whole communities burning, violence plaguing communities, schools, synagogues, an opioid crisis, economic uncertainty everywhere. And the news closer to home isn't really any better. Now, I'm sure your family is just fine, filled with kindness and mutual respect and delight in one another and endless patience with a child's foibles. Some families, just a few, hardly worth mentioning, are stressed, neglectful, unhealthy, burdened with addiction, and just plain crabby. We know that people are not reducible to simple, nice, and naughty categories. Life is just too messy. People are just too complicated for that. So it is a good thing. It is good news that Santa isn't the only one for whom we wait this Christmas. John points us to the Messiah, to Jesus, which is good news. Hear the words again on how John describes what Jesus will do when he comes. He says, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Good news? Yes. This one sentence gives us two clear reasons for our Advent hope. First, Advent is a season when we hear the truth about ourselves, the truth of our human condition, that we are bound to sin, that we need baptism. Now, if you are anything like me, you'd really prefer it did not work out this way. I would love to be in control of my sin. I would rather not have parts of me that need to be purified with fire. Yet the reality is that I cannot free myself from my sin, from my pride, from my preciously nursed grudges, from my vanity, from my coveting, from my preoccupation with myself. I cannot, by my own effort, untangle myself from this stuff. And when I think that I can, I am trying to do what is God's alone to do. I cannot be good for goodness' sake. And when I think about it, that's actually a big relief. For there is release in admitting my brokenness, because then I can finally let go and let God be God for me. It means saying, yes, I need baptism. I need your cleansing, purifying fire to make me be the person that you created me to be. Jesus, I think, gives us much more honest categories for people. We're not nice or naughty people, but we are broken. And we are blessed, redeemed, beloved children of God. This is part of our Advent hope. This is the hope that is born in the manger in Bethlehem, and this is also the hope that comes to us as Christ comes into the world, bringing both God's righteousness and fire and God's great mercy and grace. The second Advent hope that we hear John's message to us today about Jesus. Let's hear those words again. Jesus' winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with an unquenchable fire. Now, what does that mean? So John here is using this agricultural metaphor, this threshing of the grain, the dividing of the grain from the chaff, to describe what is going to happen at the end of the age when Christ comes again. Advent is about the past, the waiting for the Christ child to be born in Bethlehem, and Advent is about the future, when Christ comes again at the end of the age. And when Christ comes, according to John, he will gather the wheat into his barn and that chaff will burn. This has to do with Christ's righteous judgment of all people, all of us. This is an issue of good and evil. So, of course, the next question on all of our minds is, okay, who's the chaff? Who's going to burn in that unquenchable fire? What is the source of evil in the world? Scripture identifies for us the devil as the source of evil in the world. And yet I'm not content to leave it with some demonic figure kind of lurking in the shadows, for I have seen evil evident in the lives and the actions of individuals. And we know, too, that evil can overcome entire cultures. We recall the horrors of the Holocaust, Rwanda, too many to name. And then, of course, we are quick to assign evil to the leaders who are part of those cultures. They, he, her, them, they're your chaff. Look at the pain and the suffering that they've caused. They're your evil ones. They're the ones who should burn in unquenchable fire. And yet, really, how is my greed any different from their greed? my anger from theirs, my hatred from theirs, my fear from theirs. We just talked about how we are all God's beloved, redeemed, graced people, and this is true. And it is true that evil is the enemy of God. Later in the Gospels, Jesus promises us that one day our loving power, the loving power of God, will finally destroy all evil. Everything about it will be gone. Its false claims of victory, the pain and suffering it causes in the present, the way it haunts our memory and our history, everything about it will be thrown into the fire and burned. I believe, too, that in that fire, suffering and scars will also be burned away. And that ultimately, God's love will invade all of time, our past, our present, our future, all of our lives. So what about in the meantime? Do we just sit back content in the knowledge that one day there will be justice? Doesn't God respond to suffering now? In a word, yes. I believe that God hears the cries of those who suffer, and that God's healing is on the wings of our feet. God's whispers of mercy are given through our voices. It is Advent. As Christians, we treasure this season as a time of preparation and waiting. Waiting for the Christ child to be born in the manger. Waiting for Christ, the Savior of the nations. Waiting for justice, waiting to be made whole and healed, waiting. Our culture has no idea what to do with Advent. It has no idea what to do with a season that celebrates the fact that we sin and we are in desperate need of a Savior. There is no Advent peanuts special. There are no big garish displays in store windows with mechanical rosy-cheeked John the Baptists. There's no songs about Jesus and his winnowing fork throwing sinners into the unquenchable fire. Our culture has already moved on to Christmas. And for some, it's just a season of consuming. But we can point them to something bigger and deeper and the source of true hope. So go, proclaim that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot, shall not overcome it. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the weekly Our Redeemer's Lutheran podcast. We publish weekly Wednesday mornings, and it contains the previous Sunday's gospel reading and pastor's sermon. For more information about our church, please visit www.ourredeemerlives.org. Weekly services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. Thank you for listening, and have a Christ-filled day.